Are you tired of undercharging, over-delivering, and overworking? Well, I have some good news for you. I put together a free course for women web designers who want to make more money without overworking. Just go to webdesigneracademy.com/free course or click on the link in the show notes of this episode to get instant access. And since you love podcasts, when you sign up, you'll have the option to get the entire free course instantly in a podcast feed so that you can listen on the go. So if it feels like you've been working 24/7, but not making as much as you want, go get that free course right now at webdesigneracademy.com/free course. Welcome to The Profitable Web Designer, a podcast for web designers who want to work less and make more money. I'm your host, Shannon Mattern, founder of the Web Designer Academy, where we've helped hundreds of web designers stop undercharging, overworking, and create profitable, sustainable web design businesses. Well, hey there. Welcome back to the Profitable Web Designer Podcast. I am so excited for this episode today. It is going to be a really, really fun one. After a couple of episodes that were more, I guess, I don't know, heavier topics, like how my Stripe account was hacked, which I talked about in episode 43, and all of the fallout and things that I learned from that. And then my 2023 mid-year review and the huge lessons I learned from the first 6 months of the year. So this episode is going to be a little bit different. We are going to shift out of the behind the scenes stuff of my business. And, you know, I always try to talk about like the lessons that I learned so that you can take my experiences and apply them to your business. But today I want to talk about something completely different. Today I want to talk about how your personality affects your web design business. So we talk a lot in the Web Designer Academy about mindset and how to like identifying your mind trash and making over your mind trash and like breaking down paradigms that don't serve you and rebuilding new ones that do. And that is all so fun and some of my favorite things to talk about. But another thing that we do in the Web Designer Academy that I don't really talk about that much, and I was like, oh, this would make like a great episode, is how your like personality traits affect your web design business. I mean, who doesn't love a good personality test, right? I have always found them fascinating. So like I've taken them all, probably not all of them, but over, you know, in my corporate career, we would have like these people come in and give us personality tests and, you know, consultants and try to be like, here's how you guys can work better together as a team and all of this. And I always loved those days. Like there were half of our employees that were like rolling their eyes and like, do I really have to sit here through this? I have work to do. And I'm like, bring it on. I want all the personality tests. So for me, just to like share a little bit of my personality, and we actually have our team members take personality tests when they join our team, just so we like learn a little bit more about them and like maybe how they operate in different things. But for me, I'm an Enneagram. I'm an even split between a 3, 6, 9. Like when I took the test, it was like, you are even Stevens between all of these. And then my friend who had us take this before a retreat that I went on, she's like, we'll read them all and you just pick one. Like it's not that common for someone to like have a tie, a three-way tie, but just pick one. If I had to pick, I'm like a 3. That feels like the most true to me. In human design, I am a generator. Of course, my dog just decides at this moment that she needs to be really loud. And we are a dog-friendly podcast around here, so I'm not even going to ask my podcast producer to edit that out. It just happens. It's life. So in human design, I'm a generator. Myers-Briggs, I am an ISFJ. So that's introverted, observant, feeling, and judging. The DISC assessment, high I, S, and C. So like my I, like if you, you know, the DISC is like, I can't remember what the D stands for, but it's like very direct. The I is like your like big, bold personality. The S is, it doesn't stand for strategic, but it's like that. And then the C is more like, gosh, I knew this before I started this podcast episode, but the C is like more reserved, introverted, like they need facts and numbers and things have to be right. And so my S was the highest, my I was just a little bit lower than that, and then my C was just a little bit lower than the S. If you've ever taken the DISC assessment, predictive index, I'm a captain, strengths finders, restorative focus, harmony, responsibility, relator, and if you sorted me at Hogwarts, I would be a Gryffindor. So we don't give all of our Web Designer Academy students, we don't make them take all of those personality tests, but I always found them fascinating. And I'm always like kind of a blend of different things. And I think that's maybe because I am the middle child and we adapt to different people's personalities. But one of the first things we do with our Web Designer Academy students when they join our program is we have them take an assessment. It's like a quiz where they answer a bunch of like questions, and it's really related to how they operate in business more than they operate in life, to find what we call their signature archetype and their influencing archetype. And then we use those archetypes throughout our first module of our program to really tease out what we call their unique web designer identity. And doing that really helps them get clear on like the unique strengths and superpowers that they bring to their web design business that really set them apart from other web designers. And it really starts helping them understand why they are so valuable beyond just having like the skill of being able to build a website, right? And it also helps us, me and our client success coach, Erica, how to understand like how to coach them throughout their time in the program. It helps us understand like why they might be coming at a certain situation or a problem a certain way, what they are going to have, that they're going to like be a little more challenged in raising their prices than someone that's coming in with a completely different archetype. It helps us understand the actions that might be more uncomfortable for them and more comfortable for them so that we can coach them in a way that aligns with who they are at their core to help them reach their goals, like in a way that creates less friction for them, right? We want to work with your personality to help you reach your goals. We don't need you to become somebody else to reach your goals. And I think that that's one of the things that I love about what we do inside of our program, because it's not one size fits all. We might give someone different advice based on their archetype combination than we would give somebody who is a different archetype, because it helps us understand like this person is really strong in this area based on their personality, and they might struggle in this area, so we might not give them the same advice. And if you have ever gone into a different business program or business coaching program, and it's just like, come in and here's all our strategies and here's how to implement them and we'll coach you on them and here's our framework for coaching, but they're not like looking at who you are as a person and you have like struggled to implement, that might be one of the reasons why, because it's just not one size fits all when it comes to like coaching someone in their business. So we have you take this assessment, and we use that in a lot of different ways in our program. When we're teasing out like who you are and we're getting to know you as a person, when we're looking at like what makes you really unique, and like we have so many people come into our program that are just like, I can't chart. I literally had a conversation with a web designer today on a discovery call who is just like, I would never pay that much for a website. It's so easy. Who would ever pay that much? And it's like, well, when we get into like peeling back the layers of the onion that makes you so unique, aside from the fact that like you took the time to figure out how to point and click your way through building a website. And I don't mean to simplify that. I know that there's a lot that goes into that, and you'll, you know, hear me more talk about that as we go through some of these archetypes. But it really helps you be like, oh yeah, like I am unique. I do bring this thing to the table. So we use it for that. We use it when we're designing our dream client and our nightmare client. We're looking at like, okay, based on my personality and how I operate in business and what I value and what my personality strengths are, I want my personality. I don't even want to say weaknesses. I'm not even going to say opportunities. It's just like, because they're not things that we need you to change about yourself. My personality tendencies over here, what types of people do I never want to work with? Because that's just going to like be a lot of friction and potentially triggering for me to work with these types of people. Who do I really vibe with and align with? So we use that when we're looking at who our dream clients are outside of niching down. We use that when we're crafting our messaging, naming our web design package, all the things. We want to build a business that's aligned with who we are, not become someone else so that we can have a successful web design business. And so in our program, we teach that there are 12 core archetypes. It's like your business personality. And today I'm going to break down for you the 6 that we most commonly see with our students inside of the Web Designer Academy, because it's pretty fascinating to me that there are 12 archetypes, and out of the majority of our students who take the assessment, we see these top 6 most commonly, and we don't see the other 6 as common. And it's just interesting to me. And I think you'll understand a little bit more about that. And it's like my brand personality and my, you know, my archetype attracts a certain kind of person into our program typically. And so that's all intentional and by design with our curriculum and all of the things. So today I just wanted to break down for you like what those 12 archetypes are. I'm going to do 6 in detail and just share the ones that like aren't super common in our program, like briefly. And I also want to share with you like who they are, what the personality is, the common places that we see them excel in their business, common places that we see them struggle, and really how we work with that archetype to like reduce that friction and align their business with their personality rather than trying to be someone that they aren't. So I'm so excited to talk about this today because I don't think I've ever talked about this anywhere in any of the trainings that I've done in anything. It's like you get into the Web Designer Academy and you're like, oh my gosh, like there's this whole like personality test thing that I get to go through. So as I'm going through these and you're listening to this, I would love to know which one or 2 of these resonate with you most. You'll probably see yourself in at least 2 of these, maybe 3 out of all 12 of them. Hit me up on Instagram at Profitable Web Designer. I swear I'm there more. If you've ever messaged me and you're like, crickets, I am like having a lot of fun being on Instagram in a way that I'm like actually just connecting with people instead of trying to like entertain on social media. I do not teach marketing through Instagram content creation in my program. We teach marketing through connecting with real people. So I'm a real person. You can connect with me. DM me. Just leave a comment on this episode. Email me, shannon@webdesigneracademy.com. Reach out. I would love to know who you see, like which one of these archetypes resonates with you most. Okay. So our first archetype is the alchemist. The alchemist is the visionary. They're an innovator. They see opportunities beyond what's right in front of them. They are all about transformation and reinvention. And the web designer who is an alchemist loves a good redesign, right? They love looking at like an old outdated website or a website that was like DIY'd and or whatever, or a website that's like on a platform that isn't really serving it. And they just love to take that and transform it into something completely different. And I'm not just talking about like visually or with front-end design. I'm also talking about like the back end. There are alchemists who aren't like designers or visual designers or graphic designers. There are alchemists who are like, it makes me think of one of our students in our program, Trish, who's like, give me the messiest back end of a website. And I love that. I love cleaning up the biggest mess that someone can give me. And so that's like, that's an alchemist. They're transforming broken and inefficient systems. They're moving websites from one platform to another. They're dreaming up new ways to streamline and innovate. Like, they want to take something like outdated, old, ugly, broken, and just change it into something new and beautiful. So the alchemist talks to a potential client and they are like immediately seeing like the vision of their business ecosystem, like 1, 3, 5 years down into the future. They're seeing like what it is now and they're like, oh my gosh, they get so excited. It could just be this thing. And the alchemist wants to like reinvent and reimagine everything. And it happens in their brain in like an instant, like just like that. And so the alchemist, that's like their personality. The strengths of an alchemist are that they have a lot of ideas. They are highly innovative. They come up with solutions in an instant. They don't need to spend a lot of time researching. They have a pretty strong vibe about like what they want to do, what like the best tool would be, how to like reorg something, how to redesign something. They get so excited about the possibilities for their clients that their energy is infectious. They're just like, oh my gosh, we could do this and we could do that. And they just get so excited. The challenges that an alchemist experiences and where they can get into a little bit of trouble or a lot, just depending, is that they want to change everything. And they have a tendency to like overbuild and overdeliver for their clients, meaning like, because they see that like big picture vision and they see how all the pieces fit together and they see how like everything could change and like it could just be so much better. Alchemy is like the old science of like turning lead into gold, right? They want to give them all of the gold, all of that functionality now, even if the client is like a few years away from being ready for it. So alchemists can tend to create more work for themselves. They love change so much that they can create more work for themselves. They want to do like complete overhauls. They want to like move you from this platform to the other. The other place I see alchemists get in trouble is that they suggest revisions to the client of their own designs that the client didn't ask for. Like, they create more work for themselves in lots of different ways. And sometimes they can also underestimate how long things take and what the level of effort is, not just for themselves, but for their clients. Because like when they want to do these complete 180 overhaul transformations, they don't necessarily think about like, okay, well, what's this going to do for my client? Like, what's the level of effort for my client for this? Because like one of the weaknesses of an alchemist is like instant gratification. So they see the big vision that comes easily to them. They see the end, you know, they see the path from taking the lead and turning it into gold, but they also don't necessarily see all of the details and all of the little steps and all of the time and all of the deliverables from their side and the client side to put it together. So they can tend to underestimate how long those things take. And then they can also get so excited about all of the things that they're doing that they don't charge appropriately for it. So like they get a lot of satisfaction and gratification from the act of turning the lead into the gold, so to speak. They don't charge for all of it. So they're like, you know, oh, maybe they forgot some parts that they needed to do, or they were just like, oh, well, I'm just going to throw that in because it's part of it or whatever. So combined with like their excitement of just like doing the thing and combined with like some of those longer timelines and maybe the lack of seeing all the little pieces and parts along the way, that can have them undercharging. So how we help alchemists in our program is that we help them like kind of harness their strength of having all of the ideas and being highly innovative and like package that up in a way that it's like, if you want me at like that level of working with me, that is going to be a significantly bigger investment than if you want me to do my magic, but like, I don't even want to say a little bit less, like a little more reined in, right? So we help the alchemist really get creative about like their process and how they want to do things and get really excited, and then like package that up in a way that prevents them from undercharging and over delivering. And we also give them processes that help prevent them from getting in their own way in terms of like them creating the scope creep and them creating the extra revisions and all of the things. So we teach them like, here's what to say in a revision call, and here's what not to say, and here are all the things, you know, all the things to do. So we have to sometimes rein the alchemist in because they are the ones that end up creating more work for themselves, not their clients, which is, it's fascinating and it's really fun. So we have a ton of alchemists, as you can imagine, in the Web Designer Academy who are like so, so passionate about what they do, but they find that they are undercharging and over-delivering. So if that is you, I'd just love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you if you vibe with the alchemist archetype. So the next one that we get a lot in the Web Designer Academy, and this shouldn't be surprising, is the artist. So where the alchemist loves a good redesign and loves cleaning up a mess, the artist wants to just start from scratch. Like the artist does not want to mess with your, with a client's like already done website. They don't want to touch it. The artist is always going to be like, hey, so awesome that you already have this, but I think our best course of action is just going to be to start from scratch. They love a blank canvas. They have a huge imagination. They have unlimited creativity. They are very visual. They create things that are like unique and extraordinary, and they don't want to be using somebody's old crappy logo to do that. They don't even want to redesign it. They want to throw all of that out the door and they want to start from scratch. So artists are typically amazing at visual design, but not always, right? The same thing applies to someone who's like very systems oriented and developer and not a graphic designer or visual designer. They could be like, I don't want to mess with your messy systems. Like, I just want to create something new for you and let's just start from scratch, right? That's the artist. Artists have a tendency to love the brand strategy piece of things. They have a unique ability to like visually capture those nuances and details of their client's brand, but it's not just the visual piece of it, right? It could also be the systems. Like the artist can also see how all of the pieces creatively of like the customer journey or the business problem that they're solving, they can visually like build that beautiful piece of art that could actually be like a system or a process or something technical, right? They're really, really skilled at getting to know a client and their business and being able to like bring whatever they need to life physically or visually. And like when I say physically, I mean like digitally, like automations talking to each other in a really streamlined way that really resonates with their clients and their clients' customers. And they see the big picture and all of the little details that make like designs and systems and automations and things unique and special. Like they don't necessarily need to work from something. They're going to throw the template out. They want full creative control to start from scratch. So some of the challenges that we see with our artists that come into the program, they value self-expression and autonomy so much that they feel really, really unfulfilled and hindered working with clients who want to maintain creative control. Like if they get feedback from a client that's like, change this color or change this font or, you know, whatever, that like just kills their soul, right? That they are creating the art. They don't want to be dictated to by their clients about the creative control aspect of projects. They are at their best creatively when they're inspired. And so it's really hard for an artist to just be like, sometimes VIP days and things like that can be a challenge for the artist archetype, because if they're like, Wednesday, you know, June 15th is the day that I do your branding, and they aren't inspired on that day. They aren't at, like, it's hard for them to really stick to a very strict schedule because they are driven by inspiration. And so that can turn into like them having like designer's block and not really being able to come up with solutions. And then that can turn into procrastination, and that can create problems for project timelines and deadlines, and like leaving them feel like rushed to get things done, or leaving them feel like, oh my gosh, these things take too long or whatever. So, you know, artists tend to work when inspiration hits, and that might not always be conducive to a really like strict or tight timeline. It might also be challenging for artists to implement repeatable processes or follow project plans or create their own systems and processes, because those things like lock them in. They don't align with their creative process. Sometimes artists want to be like squirrel brains and just be like, let me just kind of like follow the thread wherever it leads. But on the flip side, they also can have some perfectionistic tendencies, and they can be really sensitive to client feedback. So much so that they spend so much time trying to make something perfect before showing it to a client, because they want that positive feedback and the validation instead of like having it be like a collaborative, co-creative feedback process. And so how we help artists is we kind of help them work. We help them like create project plans and processes that like allow for space for inspired design and creativity. We also help them manage their mind around feedback and like get out of their own way with the perfectionist tendencies. So that's one way that we help artists. And we also really help them see that they can still be creative without having to start everything from scratch, without having to always start over, because artists can end up spending a lot of time on projects. And one of their challenges then is like, they're like, I'm overstretched. I don't, you know, like they feel overwhelmed and they're not like spending time marketing or doing other things to create more clients because they're spending too much time in projects because they're always starting over from scratch. And there's part of that that gets like tied up into money archetypes sometimes too, where it's just like, I don't feel like this is worth it unless I design and build it from scratch every single time. So there's all kinds of little pieces tied up in that. So we really help artists like kind of unwind those things and really kind of like, I don't know, wrangle or channel their natural tendencies in a way that like still allows them to self-express, but also run a business at the same time, right? So our next archetype that we get a lot in our program is the innocent. And the innocent, like, think of like they're childlike, things are simple. The innocents aren't childlike. I shouldn't say that, but like, it's just simple. It's easy. It's clean. It's uncomplicated. It's super powerful and very strategic, but it's uncomplicated. Like the least amount of steps to accomplish the thing. Sometimes I think of like UX designers who are like customer journey and conversion rate optimization people can tend to fall on the innocent side. Not always, but sometimes where it's just like, okay, I want this to be simple, uncomplicated, powerful, like just easy. Easy, happy, fun, not so serious, playful, and also very optimistic. So innocents just want their client relationships to be like easy breezy, right? Strengths of innocence is that like they make things easy on themselves. Like they don't overcomplicate. Their systems and processes are simple. Like even to the point of like simple for them, meaning I have a paper planner that I write in with a pencil versus I have a Notion template and all of these like things, systems and processes, right? Or an innocent could also have like the most beautiful, simple, genius, uncomplicated spreadsheet that to them, like, is so simple and easy. Like, it's what their impression of it is. You could give it to someone else and they could be like, this thing is like crazy. But to the innocent, it's like simple, it's uncomplicated, it makes sense. So their strengths are like making things simple, not overcomplicating. Why build something from scratch when you need a template? Why make it harder than it needs to be? They're really great at just simplifying processes, taking out the unnecessary. It reminds me of like this design quote that like every revision, I can't remember exactly what it was. Like I see it in Canva all the time. Like the best designs have the least amount of elements in them, or like every time you revise, you remove something. That makes me think of the innocent. And innocents also like are just very trusting. They take people at face value. Like whatever feedback that they get, they're not spending a whole lot of time like reading into it, like making it mean something that it doesn't mean. You're just like, oh, this is what you said? That must be what you mean. And they don't like spend a whole lot of time digging into that, right? They have simple systems. They make simple systems for their clients. You want things to be easy for your clients too. So the innocents, like they could build complex systems. They could figure out like all of these different bells and whistles, but they typically don't because they know their clients won't use them. So the easiest example of an innocent I could think is just to be like, I'm going to build the easiest site I can build for this client because I know they're not going to like be able to deal with like something more complex, right? So I'm going to give them like the template and I'm not going to custom code something for them. Some of the challenges that innocents face is that they avoid conflict, right? They avoid conflict. They don't want like, if a client hasn't paid an invoice, they are just going to keep on working and they're going to trust that the client's going to pay the invoice and they're going to deliver the project and trust that the client's going to pay the invoice because they tend to avoid conflict. They want things to be easy. Money conversations oftentimes aren't easy for them. Asking for content, not easy for them. Setting boundaries with clients, not easy because they want things to be easy and breezy and simple. And they're just like, you know, they're just avoiding the conflict. They'll wait on the client. They always see the good. So you'll make excuses for your clients to your own detriment, right? You'll be like, well, they went on vacation. Well, they're really busy. Well, this, well, that. Meanwhile, your work is stacking up. You're super overwhelmed because you don't want to deal with you think that there's going to be potential conflict if you set a boundary or enforce a boundary. And another challenge we see with innocents a lot is that sometimes they think what they do is too easy. They think it's so simple. It's not complex enough. It's not from scratch. So I don't think I can charge that much because it's too simple, too streamlined, too easy. Not like, and so because it's so easy and it's not like super engaged, doesn't take a ton of time, they're like, I can't charge that much for that. So innocents undercharge a lot. Not only do they undercharge, they have a lot of money leaks, time and money leaks in their business because of wanting to avoid conflict. So we help innocents have confident conversations with their clients in a way that like lets them still be innocent, doesn't create conflict. We teach them how to reach out to their clients in a way that like feels really good to them. That's not like overly complicated or confrontational. And we also help them put like systems and processes in place to make it really easy to like just follow this easy breezy process. And if you just follow this process, 90% of this project's going to go well. And we're here for you for the 10% where you need some support. The next archetype that we get in the Web Designer Academy a lot, and these are my favorite archetypes that I love to work with these people. These are our nurturers. And the nurturers are super compassionate. They love to help others. They're extremely generous. They want to just take care of everyone and everything. And so they just want to like swoop in and take all of your problems and your cares away. They are typically wanting to work with like nonprofits, volunteer organizations, and they love using their skills to help other people. That is what they are here for. And the strengths of the nurturer is that like they are going to go above and beyond for their clients. They're going to go above and beyond for potential clients. They are the person that you can like always just count on, right? But the challenges that nurturers run into is that they chronically overwork, overdeliver, and undercharge. They also negotiate against themselves in price because they're always really worried about what other people can and can't afford. They have a big challenge in increasing their price because they feel like they are harming people if they charge more. They're always worried about like what other people can and can't afford. They also have a tendency to get like burnt out and resentful because they are always available and always answering emails, and they'll let clients like call them, text them, DM them, Facebook them. They'll let the communication happen through every possible channel it can happen. And so they get really overwhelmed and exhausted and burnt out because they cannot keep up. It's a really tough place to be because they want to help people, but they also fall into like the people pleasing mode because they're like very sensitive. And so they actually say yes to things that they don't want to say yes to protect themselves. And it's a way that protects that, like they want to protect everybody else. And so they're showing up for everybody else, but they're saying yes to things that they don't want to say yes to protect themselves. And so our nurturers are like our classic undercharging, over-delivering, people-pleasing. And we also like talk about like the employee mindset too, where they don't believe that they can say no to things because they've kind of been conditioned to like, my clients are my boss and I'm supposed to say yes. And so with a nurturer, we love working with our nurturers to really help. We're not like, I'm saying rewire their brain. It's not like I'm qualified. I'm not a therapist or like, I don't like whatever other modalities that people use to like, I'm not a cognitive behavioral therapist, so I'm not literally rewiring their brain, but we really help them like break out of their people-pleasing, undercharging, over-delivering tendencies and really show them how, hey, by you having a business and charging profitably and sustainably, that is a business for you where you're not burnout, overwhelmed, and exhausted, that actually helps you provide better service to your clients and they actually get better results. So we help them really see how their self-protective tendencies can actually disempower their clients. And we help them really shift into having like a mutually empowered a relationship where both sides are empowered and we like restore the power balance so that the nurturer can do what they are here to do, which is like serve and support heart-centered profit, like nonprofit charitable organizations that they really believe in. So nurturers are like near and dear to my heart because they are the ones that come to us where they are just caring for so many other people. And I love when they come into our program and we get to like hold them and care for them and help them go through this like transformation in a way that really respects that this is who they are at their core and honor that and help them still run their business from that place. Because one of the big reasons why people struggle to put boundaries and systems and processes in place is because they don't work with their natural personality tendencies. And if it feels unsafe to your nervous system to implement a system, process, strategy, boundary to communicate with a client, you're just going to revert back to what feels safe to you, which is to people please, to protect yourself. And so that's why we are so serious about like learning who our clients are so that we can coach them in a way that's going to work with them and not against them and not cause them to feel like they aren't doing it right or that they're failing. So that's nurturers are like, I would say the most of our people are like either alchemists or nurturers that come in if I had to count them all. So the next type of archetype that we get in our program are the rulers. And the rulers are like the take charge, like I wouldn't like they are just like they're running the show, basically. They're like your online business managers, right? So they want to come into their client's business and they are going to look at like just kind of like what I do for our web designers, but my ruler is my influencing archetype. It's not my signature, but it's to come in and look at your business. And I'm like looking at all of the places where we can make shifts so that you can like create more money, more time, and more capacity. And so the ruler's whole driving force is to create structure and order and peace and prosperity. Rulers like to make a lot of money. So when rulers apply for our program, they are typically like, if they're undercharging and over delivering, they are ready to shift their pricing quick, right? They're like, I can double my price tomorrow and I don't have any problem with that. So they are like driven, they're very authoritative. There's not a lot of gray area for a ruler. And they like to control things and they like to be in charge. And so they just lead. They just take the lead and they go. And so rulers, some of their biggest strengths are like they have processes, right? They come into our program and they absolutely have processes. They, you know, processes for their business, processes for how they like work with their clients and everything. They know how to like take charge and run the show, but they can also have like a wall up sometimes. They can also make decisions to maintain control that could actually end up causing them to like miss opportunities, right? So for example, a ruler, something that they could do is just to be like, I don't have time to talk to tire kickers and people who can't afford me. So I'm just going to put my pricing on my website to prevent anybody who is not ready to work with me from making their way on my calendar because I don't have time for that. Well, what they're missing out on is the opportunity to do what we call in the Web Designer Academy, preframe the value for the people that do have the time for it. So rulers have a lot of things going like right and well in their business, and they have a lot of structure and systems and processes, and they can come into other people's businesses and create that for them. But they can also be like total lone wolves, and they can almost like repel some of their biggest opportunities with how they run things to maintain control and protect themselves. So they're like super powerful, talented as web designers, just like any of the other archetypes are, because they like run the projects and they like, they just don't take any crap, right? And where they can get in trouble is that they take on everything themselves. They want to control every last piece of everything. So they end up just burnt out. they end up overwhelmed and burnt out. And what rulers really need, most likely, like they're going to create the revenue typically. Like they're going to come in and they're going to be what we call our five-figure hustlers generally. And they're going to come in and be like, my web design business is making $20,000 a month, but I'm working 80 hours a week and I can't maintain this, right? The ruler's opportunity and the things that we help them with is like, A, we'll pull the levers of like pricing, time, capacity. We'll figure out like how they can implement our package, like where are they doing things to protect themselves that are actually like sabotaging their business. We'll help them with like package pricing and positioning strategies. That's usually something like everyone can come in on. But the biggest thing that we help rulers do is be like, okay, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Do you need to be doing this? And how can we get you some help? Right? Is it time for you to add a contractor, add to your team? So rulers sometimes come into our year one Web Designer Academy program, like our core Web Designer Academy program, and they come in and they have a lot of things already working in their business. And then they like fill in the gaps with a lot of our strategies. But sometimes they're ready to come straight into our next level program because they've already gotten a lot of those core things out of the way, but they need to learn to accept help. And they are like also some of the most generous, confident, caring, inspiring people, but they also try to do it all themselves. So that's how we help rulers. We really help them shift into actually asking for help, which as being part ruler, it's hard when you want to control everything to let people help you, but you learn how to let go of the things that don't matter that much. So that's the ruler archetype. And then the final one that we see a lot with our Web Designer Academy students is the sage. And the sage is really like the person who is like curious. They want to do research. They want to do like a full-on discovery before digging in, right? So sages really like to do like a full-on, like they're going to do a in-depth discovery call with you. And then they're going to like put together a whole entire project plan. They're going to spend hours thinking through the entire project. They're going to look at all of the possibilities. They're going to start researching tools. If the client is asking for functionality that they've never built before, they're going to actually start like researching it and digging in and playing around and coming up with all this before they've even like booked the project, right? So they're naturally curious. They love research. They love discovering new solutions. They love building new solutions. They are they're not necessarily going to like go say, hey, what's the best plugin for XYZ? They are going to go down a Google rabbit hole and they are going to like analyze every single plugin that is out there and make their own decision. So they're the ones that people go to for advice, right? Because they've already done all the research. The sage is, they've already done the research. They have their finger on the pulse. They know what's going on. And people come to them for advice and consulting and strategy. And people trust the sage to know what's up, and they're not going to do a whole lot of research once they get advice from the sage, because the sage already, they've been trusted to have already done that work. And so sages love solution architecting. They love researching. They love really digging in with the client and coming up with all of the strategy and all of the things. Where sages get in trouble is that they overanalyze and they spend so much time sometimes in like they can get into analysis paralysis. They can get into like a little bit of perfectionism, like, is this the right choice or is this the wrong choice? They sometimes like do so much research because they don't want to make a mistake. And they end up getting, again, overwhelmed, burnt out. They say things to me like, I hate the proposals take me so long to do. They say things like that to me. They'll be like, oh my gosh, the proposal takes so long and it's so frustrating because I do all this work and then the client doesn't even book. And so part of the challenge that a sage has is that they seek so much information because they don't want to be wrong or make a mistake, that they end up doing too much work before booking the projects instead of building in space for shifting within the project. And so one of the places that we help sages is we really help them to come up with like a process. One, we have to like help them understand how to communicate that a project's not going to go perfect, that like all of the decisions that are made along the way sometimes might have to be rolled back, and that's okay. And we help them like make that okay in their mind, and we help them like be able to run a project with their clients with that level of flexibility so that they don't have to spend so much time on the front end like researching and putting together this like proposal with every single last thing thought of. Because as we all know, once we dig in and we even start talking with the client more, things can shift and change. So we help them kind of get out of their own way there, and we help them just get more confident in making their decisions, and we help them really leverage the trust and knowledge that they've built as well. A lot of times we'll see our sages have like expertise in like search engine optimizations, like in conversion rate optimization, or all of these accessibility things like that, where they're like a subject matter expert in that thing. And that's like one of the driving reasons why they want to run their web design business. And they build those services in, and we really help them leverage that subject matter expertise as part of how they connect with potential new clients, whether that's discovery calls where they talk about the, like teach those things, or just different ways to leverage the thing that they are super smart and passionate and knowledgeable about to build new relationships and create new opportunities in a way that feels comfortable to them. So we help them just not spend so much time doing unpaid work and research, and we help them really leverage their talents and just knowledge and curiosity in a way that gets them paid. Sages deserve to be paid for all of their intellectual property that they have developed over the years. So those are the six core people that we see come into our program. Again, the alchemist, they love a good redesign or a mess cleanup. The artist loves a blank slate. The innocent likes things to be like simple, clean, and easy. The nurturer is like the caretaker. They want to just make sure their client just never has to suffer a moment. The ruler is like the take charge, control, in control leader. And the sage is like that analyst, that researcher. And so those are the six that we see most commonly come into our program. There are 12 archetypes. And the six that are not like the lead archetype in most of our clients, it's usually like there's the signature and then the influencing. So it's the combination of the two that makes like everybody who comes into our program unique. But the other six are the jester, the romantic, the maverick, the humanitarian, the hero, and the explorer. So the jester is just like super lighthearted, super fun. They are not satisfied with the status quo. They're irreverent. They're funny. They are very clever, and they just don't go with the flow. They are just not going to go with the flow. They are going to break the rules. and they just, it's, they're fun. They're spontaneous. They're fun. And that's like how they don't like to work with uptight people. The romantic is like flamboyant is the best way. Like they just want things to be like beautiful and over the top and luxury. And they are the ones that want to come in and be like, I want to do a 1 week long immersive web design experience in Bali with my clients. And it'll be like a whole thing. And then when they leave, they will have their website done and all of these things. So it's like they have like this big opulent vision of how they want to work with their clients. And they are super fun. They have like a big vision, and it's really a lot about like connection and experience and those types of things. We also have the Mavericks. The Mavericks are the ones who are just like, a lot of people say that they don't want their clients to be the Maverick clients. Like when we're saying, who's your nightmare client? They're like, I don't ever want to work with the Maverick. So a Maverick is going to be like, they're just not going to play by the rules, right? They're going to always negotiate. They're always going to like challenge. You know, they're not going to follow the rules. They're not going to follow the timelines. I literally have never had a Maverick enroll in my program because I don't think a Maverick needs a program. They are just going to like go out there and like do their thing, and they just don't care. Like they are kind of just, they are just like edgy and rebellious, and they are not attracted to someone like me. So we do have some people who have like a influencing archetype of a Maverick, but it's interesting. Like it comes out more in like how they design and how they work with their clients more than like how they run their business. So yeah, it's super. I always love when people are like, I never want to work with a Maverick because like the Maverick scares them. Right. So the humanitarian, they are like the one that's just going to be like taking a stand for everybody. Right. They stand for like equality, belonging, like not, they're like, if you think about like the analogy of like the Main Street and Wall Street, like they're Main Street. Like they are super friendly, super approachable, and they want everyone to be included, right? They are very inclusive, and they are going to like roll up their sleeves and be right there with you, like doing the work. And so that's the humanitarian archetype. The hero is like, I'm going to swoop in and save the day. I'm going to like come in and I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to like help you set boundaries. I'm going to defend you. You know, if something happens, like if their client gets like a comment, a mean comment on social media, the hero is going to like come in and be like, whoa, 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 you need to back up. So they are always like championing for what they believe is right. And they have a strong sense of what they believe is right. And they don't have time for things that don't like fall into their view of what is right and wrong. So that's the hero. So we have the jester, romantic, maverick, humanitarian, hero, and then we have the explorer. And explorer is actually like my signature archetype. I've taken this test a bajillion times just because I built it in Gravity Forms with WordPress, and it was super fun to build. So I'd had to take the test to make sure everything's working out, right? And I'm an explorer. Every single time I'm an explorer. So explorers are driven by freedom and independence, and they are like a dog with a bone when it comes to solving problems. Like they will not give up until they find a solution. And it like makes me laugh because I'm thinking of like, you know, my Stripe account getting hacked, and I'm like, I have to rebuild the whole entire back end of my website to be able to take payments again without like disruption. And I'm like, game on, let's do it. I'm just like, I just get in the zone. Explorers get bored easily. They don't want to do the same thing over and over again. They're always going for like more, bigger, better, faster. It reminds me of like my day job. I'm like, hey, I think we need this new position. this is the description and I'd like to apply for it because I couldn't do the same job over and over again. They're super ambitious. They have unending self-motivation. They rely on themselves. They're willing to take risks because they know they can count on themselves to follow through. They are really great at leading their clients through projects. They're innovators, solution architects. They love solving business problems. But explorers, we are notoriously bad at asking for help. We will spend hours researching and finding solutions on our own when we could just ask someone. We're loners. We're trailblazers. We end up spending a lot of time learning things the hard way. If you've ever heard me say on this podcast, I have to touch the stove. Like I've heard so many people tell me to do this, but until I experienced the pain of it myself, I didn't change. So we learn things the hard way. We learn things by not taking advice and finding out for ourselves instead of just following in the footsteps of someone who has walked the path before us. And so we don't like being still or waiting, but we will also just charge right on ahead and we'll just take everyone else behind us. We'll be like, hey, let me like step in the puddle or fall off the cliff so that you don't have to. And so that's the sixth archetype of the second six. And it's really interesting that I don't attract a lot of explorers into the program. And it's super interesting because when you know what your archetype is, and then you know what archetype of clients you love to work with, your messaging just becomes more aligned. You start to say the things that call the right people in. So it is super, super fun to know what your archetype is. I would love to hear from you. I would love for you to go to @ProfitableWebDesigner on Instagram, follow me, DM me, tell me what you are. I'd love to know if you feel aligned with my description or if you're like, no, I think I'm a artist, but XYZ, like that didn't really fit with me. I would love to hear from you. So we also did once, and I think we should do it again. We did a sorting ceremony where we had everybody take the test, but we didn't give them their results. And then we had like a live event where we sorted them into their archetype, like a la Harry Potter and the Sorting Hat. So that was super fun. And it's fun for people to like get to know who the others in the program are and all of those things. So I hope that you heard something here that was enlightening for you. If you were like, oh my gosh, that might be why I'm having some challenges in my web design business, or oh, that is one of my strengths. Maybe I could leverage that a little bit more. So if you heard something here that you liked and you want to explore it further, I would love to invite you to just book a zero pressure discovery call with me where I can learn more about you and your business. We can talk about what you think your archetype might be and what some of your challenges are, what some of the opportunities are, and talk more about how I can help you. So you can just go to webdesigneracademy.com, click that book a discovery call button in the top right corner, and hopefully we will get to talk, and I look forward to meeting you. So I will see you right back here on the podcast next week. Bye. Hey, so if you're ready to stop undercharging and overworking, if you want to take back control of your time, work only with the dreamiest of clients, and make more money as a web designer than you ever thought possible, get started now by going to webdesigneracademy.com and joining our waitlist. We'll send you exclusive teachings from the current Web Designer Academy so you can start applying our concepts now, and you'll be first to know when enrollment opens up again so that you can work with us to completely transform your web design business.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.